I love this beautiful passage. You know, it makes me, well, I call it God's wildflower life. And when I read this passage, I remember, or I have this vision in my mind's eye of my brother when he was a young boy, and my folks were on a trip. I was probably there, I don't remember that. I just remember the photo along the coast during the springtime, and Eric is sitting on a hillside on the coast that is just covered in poppies, in California poppies. They are so gorgeous, and the color is just so vibrant. And to see my precious little brother sitting there, it just says to me the love of God. You know, lilies of the field in Greek actually means wildflowers. Wildflowers. I love that. I love that because it's a wonderful picture of the providence of God. Our scripture says, consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not clothed like one of these. Cutting into our daily hustle and bustle of life, our striving after the things that we need, food and clothing and shelter, Jesus paints us this amazing, wonderful picture of God's extravagant grace. Everywhere we look, the scripture says, look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? In these words, and with the painting of this picture of God's grace, God reminds us that we are loved. We are more precious than anything God has. The world is more precious than we can begin to imagine. And yet I know that in the midst of this rosy-colored picture that I'm painting, that there's also some of you sitting there thinking about, oh yeah, well, that doesn't take into account the people who are starving, right? And God knows that. We all know that. You hear me say it time and time again, sermon after sermon. God has overwhelming concern for those people. But that's not God's problem, is it? Nope. Today, Jesus is pointing out that just the opposite. Jesus is pointing out what God provides, what God gives us. And aware of our built-in resistance to grace, Jesus talks about it often. He describes the world as being suffused with God's grace, where the sun shines on people who are good and bad, where birds gather seeds gratis, where there is, you know, they neither plow, they neither reap, they nor harvest to earn what they receive, and where untended wildflowers just burst out on the rocky hillsides where you would think that there wouldn't be enough to sustain them. Like a visitor from a foreign country, he looks around at all that we have and he sees grace everywhere. And yet, you know, Jesus never analyzes grace like we preachers do in sermon after sermon. He just describes it. He just goes about giving us these wonderful pictures, showing us and communicating it to us in his parables and his teachings like this one today. And Jesus points out to us that God's creation is gorgeous. It's verdant and full of beauty and variety. God doesn't dole out resources to those who have earned them. They are just freely given away. Nor does God deny them to those who would abuse them or exploit them. That choice is ours, right? God gives us even free will, free choice to use all that God has so unselfishly given us. It's the nature of God to give and to give and to give, grace upon grace. And yet we spend so much of our lives fretting and worrying and plotting over what we don't have and what we hope to get or what we feel like we must have or must get in order for our lives to be full and complete until we are consumed with all these things. What is your consuming passion? What is your consuming passion? Whatever is your consuming passion, there will your heart be also. In consuming, we oftentimes forget to look up and laugh and love and lift. and give thanks for all the amazing wonder and miracle of life itself expressed all around us in this gorgeous world, chucked full of beautiful, breathtaking vistas, fields of food and trees of every kind, animals and birds and fish in the seas, not to mention the gloriously abundant oceans and the true blue of sky. Now I want you to take a moment, look at your neighbor. And I know in this half-light it's going to be hard, but every smile and every last line and every twinkle of bright blue, sunlit hazel or verdant green or gentle gray or deep velvet brown or midnight sky black, it's all a reflection of God's imagination, God's wonderful imagination. And do you realize we don't just observe these things, but we get to participate in them? When you look into those eyes, don't you sometimes say, oh, those are his daddy's eyes? We get to have fingers and hands and feet and the ability to have imagination, that gift that God gives us of imagination that allow us to express our spirits and mix up pigments of paint and color and mold and build and construct and write and sing and dance and play it out, act it out, all to our heart's content. Whether it's in business making leotards or it's making music here in this sanctuary on Thursday nights with a choir or on Sunday mornings or in photography or video projection or 100,000 ways, making a meal in your kitchen, making a garden. In this way, we are made in God's image, that we can imagine. We can imagine with God the world God has in mind for all of us. God invites us in Jesus to imagine God's world, to imagine the future that God has in mind, and invites us to participate in it. We can do that because we see all that God's imagination has given us, including each other. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear, but strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Righteousness. Right living. Right living. Right relationships. Imagine a world where there is peace and goodness and equity and reconciliation. A world where every wildflower has room to grow and every bird has a tree to roost in, and in which every creature, animal and human, has enough to thrive. Imagine and you will know and you will be in the kingdom of God. Well, we have come to this final Sunday of the church year. Did you realize that? Today is Christ the King Sunday. It's the conclusion of the Christian year. It's also the Sunday before Thanksgiving. And so on this Sunday, we Christians acknowledge two things: the Lordship of Christ and all we have to give thanks for. This day reminds us that no matter what, we know who is really in charge, and not just in the future. And today's gospel challenges us to live into what we have and to work with God in creating what will be. And I think that the best way to do that is to name what we have received, what we've all been graced with. And so on this Thanksgiving Sunday, I'm inviting you to take a few minutes now to just pause and think about what you're thankful for. Will you do that? Think about what you're thankful for, and remember that a heart that is full of thanksgiving is a heart that overflows with generosity and gratitude, that overflows with grace in our lives, that reaches out and overflows into lives that need to be touched by that grace and generosity, that remembers this is how God treats us. We can connect ourselves to God's generosity. We can join with Jesus in making God's grace flesh throughout our lives when we remember what we're thankful for and when we share it with other people. And so this morning I'm going to ask Donna to come forward, and you can see here I've got an activity for us. You remember this little sandbox. I want each one of you to come up here, and I'm going to need a handheld mic. I'll use this one. Oh, this one, okay. And I just want you to come up and just share with us what you're thankful for. And it doesn't have to be something profound. And I'm going to begin, okay? You know, I'm thankful today that my future son-in-law, Adam, is home for Thanksgiving, and he's staying at our house. And I think that's really super, because when Ian and Tara were dating a lot, or they come home, they usually stay with Sue because they have the room. But it's really nice to have Adam home, and I'm thankful that my husband is off work for a week and that he's such a faithful teacher. And I'm thankful that my mother is going to join the church at 11 o'clock. Yeah, and I'm thankful that I'm your pastor and that I get to be here with you another year, and for all that you mean to me and all that you are. Anybody else? Andy.
I just want to say a thank you to all my friends and family that I have all over Fresno, all over the state. So that's what I'm thankful for. What was that?
And you get to light a candle. We're going to stuff this box full of brightest blessings.
We have a lot to be thankful for. I'm thankful for my health, and in reflection of my mom having Alzheimer's, I'm very grateful for the good health that I have. I'm grateful for a wonderful family, my adorable granddaughter, which you always hear about, but she's just such a little miracle. These little lives that we have the chance to be a part of and help mold them and see them grow and blossom. And I'm thankful for a business that I have that I can give back to my community through that. We just hired 3 new people off of CalWORKS. We're getting them off of CalWORKS and into jobs that are paid to where they can be a real part of the community and give back to their community also. And for that, I am so grateful.
I am thankful for all the people in my life who support me when I've been burning the candle at both ends and haven't really been taking care of myself, and for coming back to church on Sunday morning after being gone and having everybody just say, it's good to see you.
I'm thankful that after being away for a while, a lot of ups and downs in my life, that when I came back through these doors today, it was coming home, coming back to a family, a church that waited here patiently for me, and seeing familiar faces that greeted me. I'm thankful for knowing that this is here for me. It's my center. It's where I know I can always come home to. And I'm thankful for these legs that get me out and walk every day, and for a heart that beats and a mind that thinks. Thankful for the safe journey that my son had yesterday as he drove back to Eureka, where he lives. Mm-hmm. He was home for a week's visit. And being a mother, you can't help but worry about that long trip back up there. And I'm thankful for every single one of you right here. You're so important to me, you'll never know.
I would like to thank God for my health and for my family and all the support that they've given me, and also for the congregation and this church. A lot of support from the church. I'd like to say thank you for everybody and for all of that. And I'm also very thankful that I live in America and get to live in such a great place as this, and hopefully things can work out and get better.
Thank you.
Well, those of you who know me, I get very creative and think outside the box. So Thursday night, I told everybody, I said, we're all thankful for family and friends and our health and all that is around us. but I ask them to think outside the box of what you're thankful for. So I have to be honest and tell you what I said. I said I was thankful for 168 being built because I never thought the vision of that would be a great highway for me to run up and down to work. And I praise God for the vision he gave to someone who said, we got to put this highway in. And I also want to say I'm thankful for 5 years of inspiration to have Thursday night diners.
Thank you, Barb.
I never thought of being thankful for a road, but when I was expecting Tara, she came a lot quicker than I expected a first baby to come. And if 41 hadn't been built, she would have been born somewhere around Fresno State, which really frightens me. But anyway, I'm, of course, thankful for family and friends and for family that are no longer with me, because even though they may not be here in body, my mom and my dad and so many other family members and dear friends are here in my heart. I'm thankful that I can do a job, that I feel like I can reach out every day to kids, and I feel like God really directed me to that job. It was not what I started out to be, but I think it was what I was meant to be, and not everyone is given the privilege of being in a job that they really adore, and I just am so thankful for that. And I can't help but be thankful for the beauty of the earth. And it's no more apparent than in the fall that God is here with us. I mean, all you have to do is look at the colors of the trees. Mm-hmm. I stopped yesterday and just sat on the road for about 10 minutes and looked down this beautiful rust, gold, reds, just every color that you can think of, every fall color you can think of. And there was just such a sense of the presence of God in the beauty of this earth. And I thank God for opportunities to serve and give thanks for this beautiful earth that he's given us so freely.
Thank you, Sue. Here, John.
I'm thankful for having a school teacher. When I was in grammar school, who taught me that there was a God. I was thankful for my wife. With the first Sunday after we were married, looked at me and scowled, and I guess she kept that up the rest of our life. She said, well, aren't you going to get dressed and go to church? And I thought, well, that isn't a question, that's an order. And fortunately, she kept that up with me. And we turned our troubles to God. Nothing to be ashamed of, but thankful for. I'm thankful for the children in this church who inspire the adults to wake up. They show us God from their heart, and we sometimes forget that. Our youth is the best gift to the nation, and we should be proud of all of you, and I really am. You're a little mischievous, aren't you? You make me laugh once in a while, and that's good for all of us. I am thankful for the ability to laugh. I'm thankful to know that some of the medicine I've been taking for the last 3 years wasn't worth a tinker's doo-ha. And the doctors told me, well, you know, John, we better quit that because it didn't do me any good. But he's got me leveled out a little bit. and I appreciate the health that he and God have given me.
Thank you, John.
Well, I'm thankful for every minute that you people have spent on this service. It just means so much. And I'm also greedy. I want to fill the building up. It's just worth it, and it's just been such an inspiration. I really appreciate it. And I've had a really good experience with my prayer group, my cell group. It's been a good growth. So I'm thankful for both of those.
Thank you, Gloria. You know, I know there are many Thanksgivings in our hearts. And if you just want to come up here and light a candle and you don't want to say anything, because you're afraid you're going to burst into tears, or it's just something that you don't feel that you need to share with the whole group, please come forward. Now join me in prayer. God of all hopefulness, God of our years, God of our future, we offer up to you our heartfelt gratitude for the blessings of the year, for all we receive in every moment of life. We thank you for support for today, in good times and in sorrow. We thank you for your love and bright hope for tomorrow. With thanksgiving, may our lives be a continual witness of thanks living. This we pray in the name of Jesus our Christ, through the power of your life-giving Holy Spirit. Amen.